Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, and having food distributed to all on our planet. We also hold the heads of government worldwide that they make their decision out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Noticing your thoughts, just releasing any thought that is about the future or the past, presencing yourself to right now. Envision silver white light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning silver disc, lighting up your spinal column all the way up to the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Focusing your attention at the point between your eyebrows, I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God. It is the fullness of wisdom, creativity, and unconditional love. Being omnipresent, it is everywhere present. Therefore, it expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me, because I am immersed in it. This morning's topic is about being a CEO in our own lives. As a CEO in my life, I visualize and affirm and build a consciousness of success in every area of my life. Physical well-being, mental clarity, emotional wellness, spiritual maturity, loving, supportive, empowering family and friendship, a career that I passionately express my unique talents and skills in, and expressing and experiencing true prosperity. I stand in and live out of principle, and I veto negativity. If ever a setback occurs, I remember that God is present where I am. Therefore, I stand on solid, holy ground. I faithfully fulfill my promises, coming from a place of compassion and honesty and integrity and love. My life portfolio contains abundance in all areas of my life. As a passionate CEO of my life, I am a beneficial presence. I make a difference in the world. I truly bless the world in a significant way because of who I really am. I'm thankful for this conscious realization this morning. I'm thankful for each person gathered here in spiritual community, healthy spirituality. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. And most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is. Thank you. I chose these topics a couple of months ago, and I think it's kind of interesting. The topic this morning being, be the CEO in your life. And I'm sure many of you know what CEO stands for. It stands for Chief Executive Officer. So Chief Executive Officer is executive to a vision, mission, and purpose. When we're talking about being a CEO in our own life, what do we execute? And when we think of the word execute, it's about we perform, we carry out, and I don't mean like acting, perform. We achieve, we accomplish. If you look it up in the dictionary, it also says to effect, like that. So three things relative to us being our own CEO in our own life, regardless of if any organization or company ever hires us as a CEO. Can we hold ourselves as our own CEO in our life? So three things I want to address. Life doesn't happen to us. Life happens from us, in, through, and as us. I'll get back to that in a moment or two. And then when I said about executive executes, It's important that we execute our mission, vision, and purpose with clarity, consciously, and unobstructedly. And then this also entails us to be expressing a certain level, degree of mastery. I really like what Neil Donald Walsh, who's the author of all of the Conversations with God books. He says, mastery is remaining unperturbed in the face of life's worst experiences. Anyone here had some negative experiences in their life? Yeah, okay. So if we are expressing a degree of mastery, we're remaining unperturbed in the face of it. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have feelings about it. Doesn't mean that we don't maybe have a moment of a reaction. But it doesn't stop us. So I want to get back to what I said earlier about life doesn't happen to us. It happens from us. And understanding this and really looking at being CEO in our life, it requires us to be a leader in our own life. A leader in our own life. So many times, I also remember a number of years ago, we had a wonderful speaker from Vancouver come and spoke about leadership and confidence. And we didn't have as great an attendance as I thought we'd have. And then people were saying, well, you know, I'm not in a leadership position. We're all in leadership positions in that we're leaders of our own lives. So what does leadership entail? This, you know, the topic isn't about leadership, and it includes that, but it certainly is about values. It's about integrity. It's about attitude. It's about self-discipline. And that certainly includes setting priorities. We just look at values for a moment. We could ask ourselves, what is really important to us in our life? That would point us in the direction of some of our values. But here's the thing about values. They're only theories until they're put into practice in our lives. Values are only theories until they're put into practice in our lives. Integrity. Well, you know, we could have a whole day workshop on integrity. I know I attended a 10-week series on integrity through the forum a number of years ago. But just, you know, in a nutshell, and it's not fully inclusive, to me it really means, you know, to be integrated, you know, wholeness, coming from my wholeness, but it has so much to do with telling ourselves the truth and being truthful and honest to other people about keeping our commitments, about cleaning things up, and especially looking at any area in our life if we're incomplete and looking to see if we're willing to come to completion in some of these areas. And there's a whole lot of areas we could look at. We could look at relationships, if there's unresolved conflicts around. We could look at an incompletion might be that an uncommunicated appreciation, or an uncommunicated apology, something we're sorry about that we haven't communicated. And it's not about living a whole life of apologies. Yeah, an incompletion could be about withholding forgiveness, not keeping an agreement, withholding important information. In the area of career, an incompletion might look like not just doing the minimum to get by on. An incompletion could look like not developing our talents or skills, or ignoring a wonderful educational opportunity within the realm of our career. Then there's the area of prosperity and financial areas. And of course, here at the center, we hold prosperity in a bigger context, and that's to thrive and flourish and be successful in every area of our life. But, you know, there might be some incompletions around our finances. Perhaps it would look like not putting anything aside for retirement, not ever having a cushion as far as a savings account. Restoring ourselves to integrity might look like, in the financial area, if we may be going through a difficult time, and maybe we can't meet the payments and obligations that we have, integrity would look like communicating to those people, telling the truth to them, and speaking our truth as far as that we have a deep commitment to resolve that, and this is what we can do right now. Being complete around our physicality, restoring ourselves to wholeness and integrity around that. You know, maybe it may just look like us knowing that, gee, we haven't exercised in a long time. I know I hurt my knee last year and I wasn't exercising. And I really have to watch that I balanced it with not eating the same amount. And when I still ate the same amount and I didn't exercise, a few little pounds started to show up. Restoring ourselves to wholeness and being complete around materiality would be telling ourselves the truth about some dreams and things that we would really like to have or go. And then personally, not clarifying our personal values and mission and vision and purpose and goals in our life. I said a little earlier about attitude. I was reading a story about a little boy, and he was 7 years old, and he had an operation, and he couldn't run hardly at all, and he showed up for the baseball team. And they said, well, you can't run. And he says, well, I don't need to because I'm going to hit the ball out of the park and I can walk around the bases. You see, and we kind of giggle at that. And you know, I'm sure that there's some children that think that way. And it's like, where do we lose that sense of that attitude of accomplishment and can do, you know, like can do, eliminating the thought of impossible in our life? Just very quickly in your own mind, or if you're taking notes, write down the name of someone, possibly a friend, that you admire greatly, or just think of that person right now. Somebody that you know that you admire greatly. And having thought of that person, the next question is, what is the quality that you most admire about that person? Or qualities? Answer that for yourself. There's a couple of wonderful books by Reverend John Maxwell on leadership, and he was sharing in one of his books that he usually asks this question, these two questions, in his leadership seminars. And he said 95% of the answers have to do mostly with attitude. Probably, if you look at your answer, it probably has something to do around attitude. Sure, sometimes people put down skills. Sometimes people even put down looks and appearance. But it's usually something to do with an attitude. It's been said that attitude is more important than our past, our education, money, circumstances, our failures, successes, and what other people think and say and do relative to us. It's more important than appearance, more important than being gifted in a certain area. It's more important than even skills. It can make or break a company. It can make or break a church. It can make or break a home. Interesting what he said in his book, and I started off with this saying, life doesn't happen to us, it happens from us. He said, we could say that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% of our reaction or response to it. And if we think about this word leadership, has less to do with position than it has to do with disposition. And our attitude cannot stop our feelings, but can keep our feelings from stopping us. Like that. And then I also listed self-discipline. And I just want to touch a moment on priorities. One of the books that has made a tremendous difference in my life. I don't think I could have the life that I have, do what I do, and make the difference that I do without having read Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. Many times people spend a great deal of money taking time management, etc., but he has one particular chapter in there that is about, you could call it time management, but nobody can manage time. We manage ourselves within the realm of time. And the big distinction that he makes there, and this is just so powerful in my life, he says, rather than making our lists of priorities, this is all part of self-discipline and part of being a leader in our life and being a CEO in our life, rather than just listing all the to-dos and things we need to do and then prioritizing them, he makes a distinction and he takes you to a step prior to that. He said, first of all, list your roles. R-O-L-E-S, your roles. Now some of us have 2 or 3 roles. Some of us may have 5 or 6 roles. Be sure when you're marking down the role that you put your name there. For lack of saying our relationship with ourselves, because how could we be with ourselves? But boy, sometimes our English language doesn't give us the right words. But be sure one of your roles is about being you. And then, you know, whether you're husband, wife, significant other, your career, the other roles that you play, your family, social, friends, whatever. Then what you do in this management of yourself within the context of time is you ink it, you don't think it. 3 important things that you would like to accomplish that particular week in each particular role. In each particular role. Then you take those to-dos and then you go and you prioritize them and you put them into your daytime or your calendar. Have you ever been in your life, and I know I certainly have been there, where sometimes a certain area of your life kind of takes over? And that seems to be like all you're doing is that? Yeah. This totally eliminates that. You ever been in your life where you think, oh man, I've been meaning to connect with that person, or I've been meaning to write or phone or email now so-and-so, or I haven't spoken to them in a long time and I've been thinking about them so much. See, when we do this, when we mark down our roles, and then 3, you can have more than 3, important things in each role, and then you diarize them, you don't get into that kind of a situation where it's like, oh, I need to do that. Then we need to convert our commitments into action. Like when we're thinking about our commitments and our goals and what it is we'd really, really like to do, it's important for us when we're And this isn't about prioritizing anymore, but this is more about, I spoke a little bit about it last week, about looking at our goals in life, be very, very clear about, and bring it to conscious awareness in every area of our life. You know, do we spend some time thinking about and inking them, not just thinking them about our physical life, some physical goals, some mental or educational goals, not or and, some emotional goals. And of course, it's all spiritual, but you might want to have a category also of spiritual goals, like some things you want to maybe read or take or learn. Or was it last week or the week before I talked about 10 different things of what we want to stop, start, change, learn, say, communicate, be, do, and have, like that. And then, of course, not to leave out our family goals, our social goals. In our finances and our career. I came to the realization that with Norman and I having moved here 18 years ago, the majority of my social life has been people from the center. It was a little different when Norman was in the workforce. So I started to look at that, and I also started to look at, you know, exercising, and I've got certain things at home that I can do there, and I go to the Panorama Center once a week. I was going 2 and 3 times a week when my knee was healing. But I thought, you know, something that I loved to do years ago was bowling. So I went down to Miracle Lanes in Sydney last week and showed up there and spared for 3 games. Well, did I have a sore buttock for 3 days? It really told me that I hadn't been using that particular muscle for a while. And then I thought, well, Gail, you know, except for your spares and strikes, you probably threw close to 90 balls. Of course you used a muscle you hadn't used in a while. So it's like that, you know, starting to look at our life. So what can we, you know, who do we want to spend more time with? I was talking to someone even this morning. I said, I want to spend some time with you, some friendship time with you, and some one-on-one time with you. Let's go for walks. But, you know, unless we, you know, communicate it, make it an intention, it's like something like, oh, yeah, I thought about that. Oh, yeah, I wanted to do that. Like that. So it's really important that we get really, really clear. And we say when we're chief executive officer in our life, we're going to execute things that we want to be, do, have, our goals. It's very important for us to be very, very truthful and in integrity with ourselves again, and honest with ourselves about what we... I'm working at not using the word want as much. Substituting that word with desire. What is it that I desire? And really telling myself the truth about it. So many times people are very clear what they don't desire, what they don't want. This is the kind of husband or wife or significant other I don't want. I don't want this and I don't want that. I had an relationship once and this person was like this, I don't want that anymore. So it's like very clear in what they don't want. Norman and I have built several homes in our life, a couple in Edmonton, a couple here in Victoria. And when you hire a builder, what is it that you present to the builder? A set of plans. You don't go to the builder and you don't say, well, I don't want the kitchen over there, and I don't want the, et cetera, et cetera. I don't, third person would just go like this, you know, like, what do you want? But a lot of times in our own life, we're kind of like that. We're very, very clear what we don't want, instead of being very, very clear on what we do desire. And then, of course, with that clarity, comes and consciousness, and being consciously aware, we envision, we speak it, we make it really real in our life by, I think it was in the prosperity workshop a week or so ago, one of the things that I was talking about was move in consciousness. What does that mean? We move in as though it were already happening and getting in touch with how we would feel if it were already happening right now. And get in touch with those feelings and then move out in our life with that. So many times people say, well, when then? Yes, when I'm then. When I attract that significant other, when I'm better, when I create that money, when I create that job, then watch how I'll feel. No, in our imagination, move in there. Move in. And then live your life out of that. Just being very materialistic for a moment, how would you show up at your place of employment if you won $17 million tomorrow? Somebody say, well, I wouldn't go to work. Oh, yes, you would for an hour or so. And how would you show up there? You would show up in a different attitude, probably. So what if we moved in? What if we moved into that attitude? So maybe that might be a stretch, saying millions and millions of dollars. What if all of a sudden your wages were doubled? And you move in, and you show up like that. You show up like that. Interesting. What could happen, could result from that? It's good also to speak about that you're excited about something even before it happened. I know Michael Loge in his wonderful book, The Law of Attraction, when you look at it, it's not a book just to read, it's a book, it's a workbook. He's very big on getting in touch with what I call move in, but also speaking it. You know, whatever that goal is, speaking it to yourself and saying, I'm just so happy that. I'm so excited that, like that. I said a little earlier that when we're executing with clarity and consciousness, and consciously, unobstructedly. Now, I've done a number of topics on moving through obstacles. Obstacles are the frightening things that we see when we take our focus off the goal. They can be frightening things. Maybe they don't frighten everyone. But obstacles are those things that we see when we have taken our focus off the goal. This dovetails very powerfully with the topic next week is direction determines destination. Direction determines destination. There was a kindergarten teacher. Some of you have heard this story before, but that's all right. Kindergarten teacher that said, we're going to play a game here. So just gather around. Here are the instructions. So everybody, whales over there and seahorses over there. And the little girl went like this. Where do the mermaids go? And the teacher said, there are no mermaids. And she said, there is now. Like that. But let's just take that to our own life, you know. Sometimes things happen in our own life and we go, oh, okay. And we go over there where the other people are doing their thing. When I'm speaking about obstacles, you know, so many times they show up a certain way, but I want to just touch lightly on obstacles that could be obstacles if we allow them, when we hear certain things, when people say certain things, possibly about you. There might be gossip. Sometimes people attribute things that you have said to you that you haven't said, and they speak it to other people. I always say to throw dirt is to lose ground, but I love these two powerful affirmations. And from time to time in my life, I need to be reminded of them. One is from Einstein, and he says, great spirits will always have opposition from mediocre minds. Great spirits will always have opposition from mediocre minds. The other quotation is a little bit longer, and it's from Napoleon Hill. And Napoleon Hill was one of the first authors that I read 35 years ago. The Laws of Success, it's a real big, thick book. But this is what he says. Who is criticizing or saying it can't be done? What great victories have they to their credit which qualify them to judge another accurately? Like that. So, you know, if we kind of had that as a something to fall back on whenever an obstacle shows up, like a speaking obstacle, not so much something that we see. I said earlier about this also entails mastery, remaining unperturbed in the face of life's worst experiences. That certainly has to do with that. Having something to focus your attention, your consciousness, and your mind on. Because remember, the obstacles are things that could be frightening that we see and or hear when we've taken our focus off of what it is we really want to create in our life. You know, science has engineered us for success. And God guided itself in us. We're made in the image and likeness of the Creator. Therefore, we are creative. We are co-creative with that infinite presence and power. So here's one of the things, you know, being a CEO in our life, challenges will show up. Problems will show up. Anybody here never had a challenge or a problem? Good. We're in the right planet. So, you know, sometimes people are problem-oriented. But then true leadership, and true courage, and true being a CEO in our life is to move from that to be solution-oriented, but then there's another step to take. The step that we can take is to be God in me, through me, and as me oriented. To always remember who we are as a spiritual being, and that we're not ever, ever, ever separate from God. Instead of telling God how big our problems are, how about taking that problem, having a conversation with it, and telling the problem how big our God is? And not God like over here someplace distant that we have to invite into our presence, but that infinite presence and power that is our very life, that we're immersed in, that expresses, as the meditation said, not only around us, but in us, through us, and as us. So in winding down here, can we lose the grip of a particular conversation of someday and one of these days, and realize that nothing's ever too late? So for us not to wait to fully live our dreams and aspirations, not to wait to fully be a CEO in our own life. You see, when we look at the human being, we're human beings, not human going-tos or human has-beens. We're beings. You know, there were 20 people that showed up at our video night the other day for the power of now, the flowering of consciousness. And it was about really presencing ourselves to being. So again, I want to close by reading you the statement that I opened with for the sake of it being on the tape, and see what a deeper meaning it has for you right now. You and I live in extraordinary times. Times when the known and familiar give way each day to the unknown, the untried, the unforeseen. And times when experience and common sense, survival skills, give way to creativity, to leadership and bold new action that yields unpredictable breakthrough results. Extraordinary times demand extraordinary lives. They call not for just working, but for accomplishment. They call not only for performance, but for excellence. They call not for simply getting along, but for constructive, enriching relationships. They call not for merely living, but for living confidently, ably, and well. I had this on my desk to remind me at a particular time in my life. Abandon dramatization of weakness and faint-heartedness. Be courageous. Be courageous. So I leave you with that. Are you willing to be a CEO in your life? Good. Never reject an idea just because it seems impossible. If you have the faith, God has the power. And I'll close with another quotation from Conversations with God. You are in the process of experiencing yourself by creating yourself anew in every single moment, as I am through you. That's God speaking, not just the author. You are in the process of experiencing yourself by creating yourself anew in every single moment, as I am through you. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Thank you.